What is it that defines who you are? Your job, retirement, where you live, how much you earn, what kind of car you drive. What is it that defines you? Michael Jordan seemed to be defined by his athletic ability. He was grace in motion when he handled the ball, when he was running, when he was jumping, when he was shooting, when he was flying through the air, anti-gravity, and somehow managed to get the ball backhanded up around the backside of the net and into, off the board and into the net. I've seen him do that kind of thing. But he was grace off the field, off the court as well. Billy Graham is defined by his evangelistic preaching and his commitment to Jesus Christ. Some people are defined by their personality. They're a happy person or a grouchy person or a stingy person or an angry person. We may not even know how others define us in that way. We can be defined by those we hang out with. I think it was Jesse Jackson that says, "Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you what your future will be." People are known by their groups. The Kwanians own the town. The Rotarians run it. The optimists do all the work, and the lions have all the fun. Or we might be defined by our appearance, male or female, tall or short, black or white, beautiful or visually challenged. Yeah. Who are you? In the scripture this morning from Mark, John is defined as the baptizer, both by occupation and by belief, but also by his lifestyle, the clothes he wore and the food that he ate. Jesus, on the other hand, is defined by John as great, mightier than John himself. John is not worthy to bend down and untie the thongs of his sandals. Jesus is also defined by God as God's only Son. "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Your baptism also defines you. Your baptism says that you belong to God, that the Holy Spirit has descended upon you, touching you with power and grace, so that you are made His. God's Word comes to identify you, to tell you who you are. You are His child. You belong to Him. And with you, He is well pleased. Our baptism helps to define who we are by making a statement about what we believe. We believe in a set of principles that is different from non-Christians, that informs and directs our choices and decisions in life. We believe that Jesus Christ is God present with us right now, that it is His life and His death, that we, by His life and His death, we are given forgiveness of sins, and it was His resurrection that assures us of eternal life. Baptism says something about who we are. We are the ones for whom Jesus Christ died. Our lives take on the value of the Son of God. We are valued by God so much that He was willing to send His only begotten Son to die for you and for me. Carl Sandburg, in an address to graduating students at Harvard one time, said, "You need the spirit of Lincoln, who in the divided house of his day knew what to do because he knew who he was. We live according to how we define ourselves. If we think too lowly of ourselves, we'll sell ourselves cheaply. If we define ourselves too wrongly, others may also. To define ourselves as children of God is to set our course upward, and the other aspects of life take on that direction as well." It says something about what we are to do. For once we know who we are and whose we are, we will know what we are called to do, how we are to treat people, how we are to react to the world around us, how we are to share the gifts that God gave us, and how we face each day, hopefully with confidence and assurance and a sense of hope. So who are you? Martin Luther, when faced with troubles and difficulties, and he had quite a bit of both with the Catholic Church trying to chase him down, He would touch his forehead and say to himself, to remind himself, I am baptized. I am baptized. It was his way of reminding himself of exactly who he was, that he was a child of God and nothing in this world could take that away from him. Well, in the same way, you are a baptized Christian, a child of God, claimed by God, blessed by the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember our baptism also and be thankful. You see, baptism is a defining rite. It's more than just water, a few drops on the head, or maybe even total immersion. Baptism defines us as a child of God. No matter what else attempts to define our lives, this is the seminal definition. We are related to God as His children, heirs with Christ in life eternal. Baptism is our acceptance of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. By being baptized as a child, later to confirm it in confirmation classes, or whether we're baptized as an adult, we are proclaiming ourselves to the world. We are defining ourselves in relation to and response to God's action in our lives. And it happens in just that order. God acts and we respond. God made covenant with us. And He kept His end of the bargain, and He even tries to help us keep ours. He did it by sending His only begotten Son to take away the barriers of the law and open the promise to all people. He saves us from our sins. We respond with thanksgiving and commitment, praising God for His gifts, not only for what they have done, but for the hope that they contain, and committing ourselves to following Him. Living a certain lifestyle, how we see people, responding to situations in a way that proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord, in a way that proclaims and gives glory to God. Baptism also defines who you are, the you that is you, not the outward appearance, male or female, black or white or red or brown, athletic or clumsy, good or bad, young or old, all the labels that the world wants to put on us. That sticks sometimes like a bad nickname, or other times becomes self-fulfilling. Jesus did not define people that way. He did not define them as prostitute or tax collector or selfish or thieves or even Samaritans. He saw them as those whom God loved, seeking to enter into the family of God. So what are we going to do with this baptism that we've received? Well, baptism is a covenant. A deal, a contract that we have made with God to acknowledge God as our God and to worship Him. And God will stand by us no matter what. A promise by God that He has kept through the ages, even though we have not. John Wesley came up with a covenant service many, many years ago, over 250 years ago. A service of renewal and dedication for the church, for the people of the church. A service that says we will put ourselves into God's hands and be the people He has called us to be, being the people defined by our baptism. May this covenant service be an exact reminder of exactly who you are. And so I would like to ask you if you would join me in this covenant service. It's a commitment of yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To acknowledge who you are and define yourselves as children of God, seeking His presence and willing to do whatever is necessary to come a little closer to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. Through baptism, we have entered this life and have been admitted to a new covenant of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with His own blood that it might last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ, the source and protector of our faith. On the other side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. From time to time, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we have reaffirmed the baptismal covenant and gather at the Lord's table. Today, however, we meet as generations before us have met to renew the covenant that binds us to God. Let us make this covenant to God our own. Christ calls all of us to commit ourselves to Him as His servants. Give yourself to Him that you may belong to Him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our own inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us therefore go to Christ in prayer. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O gracious and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. To make this covenant a reality in your life, listen to these admonitions. First, set apart some time, more than once, to be spent alone before the Lord, in seeking God's assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, in searching your hearts whether you have already freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you are clear in these matters. See that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in the spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving grace and strength so that you can keep your promise. Trust not your strength and power. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given the Lord your heart. You have opened your mouth to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Bow down before Him, lift up your hands towards heaven, and open your hearts to the Lord as we pray the covenant prayer. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, look upon me as I bow before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will, for you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. God requires that you shall put away all idols. I here, from the bottom of my heart, renounce them all, covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love towards the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own righteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again, if you would let Him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to the means of coming to God. Jesus, I bow here. I accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in covenant with Him. I do here, with all my power, accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. Christ has told you that you must suffer with Him. my dear covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace, I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. The Almighty God searches and knows your heart. O God, you know that I make this covenant with you today without guile or reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me to set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I, from this day forward, shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now as my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. Let this covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. And then something to be taken to heart. Because I wish to make this covenant not only in my heart, but in word. Not only in word, but in writing. Therefore, with all reverence, I lay this service before the Lord as an act and deed. I affix my signature to this service as a sign of my covenant and as a reminder of the agreement between God and myself that will sustain me during the doubts and temptations. And I offer you the opportunity to sign this service, to take it home with you, put it on the refrigerator. We're all going to fail. We're all not going to keep this covenant the way God wants us to. But we can remember it. We can recommit to it. We can give ourselves to the Lord. We can know exactly who we are because we have been baptized and we are in covenant with God the Father Almighty. Amen.